Morning, good afternoon, good evening to everyone. On today's JAS call on Friday the 6th of May, we have Rafik Damak, Carlton Samuels, Tijani Benjema, Sintra Suknanan, Carlos Aguirre, John Rahman, Olivier Crépin-Leblanc, Alan Greenberg, Eric Brunner-Williams, Alain Béranger, Elaine Pries, Evan Labovich, Dev Anand-Tilaksing, and from staff we have myself, Gisela Gruber-White. I hope I haven't left anyone off the list. Apologies noted from Cheryl Langdon-Orr, Tony Harris, Alex Gakuru, and if I can please remind everyone to state their names when speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you. Over to you, Carlton and Rafik.
Thank you, Gisela. Good morning, everybody. I will just go to the first part of this, good afternoon, of this call. The interest here is to put the document that we are going to float up to the various organizations for us to finish writing this document. So I am perfectly willing to have consider how we go about this. My preference would be for us simply to look at the document as is, and we will allow the principal writers of the document free rein to lead the talk through. What I would expect is that where there are areas that they are still unsure of what to write, they will bring it forward. We will have a quick 1-2, and then we will make a decision and move it along. So this is not a time for debate. It is just to accept the suggestion from the drafting team. So I would put it over to the leaders of the drafting team, Evan and Sintra, to move us through what they have prepared. Evan, Sintra.
Sintra, you want to do it this time, or me? Take your pick.
Evan, I'd be happy to defer to you right now. I'm a bit here, but not here.
Okay.
Because of work. Thank you.
All right, so what I'm going to do then is start to go through things. Last call, we made an awful lot of progress. We covered off essentially most of what we called part three. So if you'll have a look at the document, it has changed significantly since our last phone call in an attempt to both solidify the point of view of this group as well as to clarify. There's a couple of formatting problems, but that will be addressed. So what I would like to do is, first of all, just take a check. Does anybody have any comments so far of anything up to the beginning of part three? I think that this has been mainly covered off till now, but I just want to check. Carlton, do you want to handle the queue or do you want me to?
No, you handle the queue.
Okay.
I'm leaving it up to you, my friend.
Okay, to Jenny, go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you, Evan. For part three, point three, the applicant must not have any of the following characteristics.
Okay. Well, hold on. Just wanted to see if any further comment on part one or two before just briefly.
Okay, thanks.
So, okay. Eric, did you have any comment on parts one and two before we moved on to part three?
Yes, I'm looking at the preamble or what comes before part one, where the process is defined as being confidential.
Okay, forgive me. I thought that was taken out. Oh, it's still there. Sorry about that, Eric.
Okay.
Richard, do you want to mention anything about this? That wording got put in last time after, I think, one person from the working group made a comment suggesting it. I share your concern about this, Eric. Can we get a consensus from the group? I was under the impression that, especially given our background, a lot of us being coming from at large, transparency is a very, very big thing. And if I can, if I'm not expressing your point of view, Eric, it's certainly my own that this process needs to be transparent. The idea of anybody going confidentially and asking for funding is something I would disagree with. So the term confidentiality, I forgot about that, that it's actually still in there. Is that your comment, Eric, or did you have something else to say about it?
No, Evan, that's it.
Okay. So so the word's done through a confidential process. Does anyone have any problems? Okay, we got a long queue about the word confidential in there. Tijani, or did you? Is your hand up about this issue?
And I agree that it must not be confidential. It must be open.
The reason why confidential was put in, I had put it in based on last week Friday's call, I believe, where Cheryl had made the statement that if we do make our approved applicants public, that may prejudice them from actually getting funding outside from other sources in the community. If the group decides by consensus that it should be out, then I'm fine with it. Either way.
Okay. All right, without giving my own comment on that yet, I'll go through the queue. Dev?
Thank you. Yeah. Well, I think that, as people mentioned before, it should not be confidential. Only to certain key aspects, like the personal details, etc., would be kept confidential of the applicant. But, I mean, I guess one of my comments is that, and I guess when we come to step five, part five, as to how, when we come to the flowchart, because my thinking is sometimes I think that, in terms of how this process is going to work, in relation to the applicant guidebook, can it be integrated as part of the applicant guidebook? Or so I'll defer the comments until we get to part five about that.
Okay. Do you have any comments on the confidentiality issue?
Well, I think it's similar to the applicant guidebook. You would have certain details, like the financial details. You may not want to publicize that. I mean, we'll have to use it to evaluate the application, but it won't be publicized when it's officially here. These are the applications that have applied for needy support, for example. It's similar to the applicant guidebook from that aspect. So I suspect you have to say something like accountable and transparent as a possible wording for that.
Okay. All right. Moving on in the queue, Alan.
Yeah, we're going to get bogged down if we start debating things here, where there are clearly different opinions. I would suggest again, this is just a milestone report. If we can't get closure, let's be silent on it.
Well, what I'm hoping, Alan, is I think we could get closure because right now on the call I can't find anybody who supports it.
Well, except Tintra said that it was put in because of some strong statements that Cheryl made, and Cheryl's not on the call. I'm just suggesting that debating individual points right now, we are not going to get through this document in time. And if we can't come to closure, then silence is a fine thing to do.
Okay. Well, state. What I'm going well.
Okay, I have one other thing to say, then I'll release the speaker queue. The statement that says it is not part of the applicant guidebook but parallel to it, I think there at the beginning needs a statement saying, but it must be referenced in the applicant guidebook so potential applicants are aware that it will exist.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good
That's
point. Is anyone taking notes on this in terms of action items of edits to make to the document? Because Alan's point is a good one. And since I can't talk and do this and take notes at the same time, is there anyone on this call that is taking notes on this? Okay, don't all speak at once.
Well, if Cintra is the co-author and she's not chair, if she's not handling it, then the spoken part, then perhaps she can take notes.
Okay, so I'm going to count on Cintra and or Gisela to take notes on this so I can...
Yes, I'm taking notes.
Okay, so we can come and do those edits, both on the issue of confidentiality and to add, as Alan suggested, that as we're marking, we have to make reference that this document, even though it's not going to be integrated into the application guidebook, at least needs to be referenced from it. So, okay. Anyway, I'll talk to Cheryl offline about the point on confidentiality, because I think it's a strong...
But again, we can afford to be silent at this point on that kind of issue.
Okay. Olivier, go ahead.
Thank you, Evan, and bearing in mind what Alan had just said, maybe I'm just going on about a subject that might be closed by now. On the subject of confidentiality, if the applications are open and published as they arrive, then I think that there is a problem with that, because they will be looked at by other potential entrants in the market that might wish to put a rival application into in the same process. On the other hand, if they're published after the closing time for applications, then I don't see any problem with it being open and transparent. Thank you.
Okay. I would simply mention that this is kind of late in this discussion to be talking about something really this fundamental. Eric, go ahead.
Thank you. This comment is somewhat something of a process point. Which member of ALAC has the unilateral right to add text? I don't think that Cheryl's insertion of this idea in the last call over my objection in email, since I really wasn't able to participate fully in the call, has any greater right to be left in or left silent about than anything else. My response to Alan is that this... trying to be silent on something that got stuck in on the last call is just not the right process. Thank you.
Can I just respond to that? I put in that insertion, and it wasn't necessarily on the last call. It was last Friday's call, and it is subject to review. That is the whole point of us going through this now.
Okay.
Can't be silent, review it.
Okay. Eric, I totally share your concern about this, and we'll do what I can between now and the next few days to address it. Okay, I still see Olivier's and Alan's hands up. Do you still have something to say on this issue?
Yes.
Go ahead. Well, Olivier's first. Olivier's, okay, go ahead, Alan.
With regard to Eric, I wasn't trying to say that she has unilateral right. If I understand correctly what Cintra said, removing it undoes what Cheryl's comment generated, and effectively yields silence at this point. It doesn't put it in the negative. I don't think previously it said non-confidential, but maybe it did. I may be wrong.
Okay.
I'll point out what Eric has pointed out a number of times, that for this process to be effective, people are probably going to have to use it prior to application.
So it's not even
an issue of releasing them one by one. It's before the process even starts.
Okay, Alan, but I'm for the interest of trying to get something
done
in a short period of time, you're suggesting silence on the issue, which also happens to agree with Eric, which is keep the thing the way it was before the thing was added last week.
That was the point I was making.
Okay, so we're all in violent agreement then that the word should come out and may be subject to further review. Okay, good. Moving on. All right, so is there any other comment about Parts 1 and Parts 2? Right now, based on the work done by the drafting team, all of the red text has been taken out, and so the intention is that the black text in Part 1 and Part 2 would remain as is. If there's no further comments on that, okay, Cintra, go ahead.
Hi. In Part 2, Part 3, 1, bullet number 2.
Okay,
right?
Not on Part 3 yet. I'm just trying to get consensus. If Part 1 and Part 2 has no further comment on it, that we can move ahead.
Okay, sorry.
No problem. Okay. Seeing no further comment on that, we will rapidly move to part three. Dintra, go ahead.
In blue, Evan, you had drafted this proposal, but I don't think it effectively captures the fact that we do have to include a social benefit for 3, 4, and 5. So therefore, 1 and 2, right, which is from, 1 is from a community and 2 is from an underserved language. The social benefit in those applications is obvious, but for 3, 4, and 5, it's not. So I think for 3, 4, and 5, we do need to couple the social benefit aspect, which you have lower down.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is, okay, again, this goes to something that was a relatively recent inclusion within the past week, which was the concept of social benefit added to the criteria that we were mandated under before. So there have been various social benefit issues, such as economic stimulus, gender balance, and so on, that were that were suggested to be added within the past week. And so what I've tried to do is, because they didn't seem to be primary criteria, they were actually moved to a sentence after the mandatory criteria. Are there any suggestions of how to deal with what Cintra has put into the blue text under part 3.1.2, which essentially says that under the criteria about operation in an emerging market or nation sponsored by nonprofit, civil society, or non-government organization, operated by a local entrepreneur in those geographic areas where market constraints make normal business operations more difficult, do we need to put any text to say that the applicant has to demonstrate a specific social benefit from one of those three characteristics? Tijani, go ahead.
Okay, I didn't want to speak about that, but I think that we can. It is when it is from a civil society, it is already a social aspect. So I don't think that we need to add something. Perhaps for the entrepreneur, yes, you're right, but not for the civil society for the NGOs, etc. In the emerging markets, we can add something, yes.
Okay. So over the weekend, if somebody can suggest a different, slightly modified wording for 3.1.3 and 3.1.5 that would make the social benefit aspects of those points more apparent, if somebody could recommend something, that would be appreciated. If not, the drafting team will come up with something on its own.
I can if you want.
So Jenny, are you still in the queue or are you done?
I am still on the queue for other things.
Okay, but for right now, we're dealing with this specific thing. Okay, Alain, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you very much. I'll volunteer to draft up some words on the social benefits aspects.
Okay, thank you very much.
I'll just have to briefed about the timing, that's all.
Alain, I'm more than happy to go offline and talk to you about that.
Excellent, thank you very much.
Okay, Alan.
Yeah, just quickly, I think to the extent that we can get words, fine. If we change the introduction, the point number one, the bold point number one, to from including to which may include, it's a little softer. I'll point out that this is a sea change that we have gone through. And maybe once we get out this this particular document, we need to go back and think again that originally we said we're going to help people who don't have enough money. We've added in social benefit. And the question is, if this is a commercial operation which simply needs a boost to become viable, that may or may not have a real social benefit other than boosting the overall capabilities within the country. So we may want to go back and look at that, but we can cover it to some extent now by simply changing the including to something softer. Thank you.
I'm hoping that the wording that LA is going to work on that we've been talking about possibly some minor modifications to those specific points, may help to add some.
I'm giving you a fallback if you need it.
Got it. Okay. All right. So, Eric, go ahead.
Thank you. I think Tijani is ahead of me in the queue.
If you have something on 3.1, Eric, go ahead now. I think Tijani wants to talk about something else.
To the public interest issue of them.
Yes.
The diversity was always present in Resolution 20. So I think we have a public interest case for the things that we've already put here. I'm sorry, I'm not very articulate right now, so I'll stop talking. Thank you.
Okay. All right, so essentially what we're going to do with part 3.1 is Alain and I are going to work offline to see if we can come up with some modifications to bullet points number 3 and number 5 to emphasize the social benefit of that. Okay, moving on. Demonstrate financial need, and for that, Tijani, are you in the queue about this part, about 3.2?
Yes. No, I am on the queue for 3.3.
Okay. All right. Then if that's the case on 3.2, Elaine, go ahead.
Thanks. Yeah, I was just looking at 3.2, and it references the 3.3, but I don't see a 3.3 on the document on the wiki. Is it somewhere else?
You're probably going to have to refresh it. Under Part 3, there's a 1 and a 2 and a 3. Pretty explicit, right underneath words.
No, she's right. She's right. 3.3 is missed.
Thank you.
Sorry?
Yeah.
I put
a paragraph 3.3, but it is not there now.
She's not talking about sub-bullet 3 under 3, but 3.3.
She's speaking about 3.3, yes.
Yeah, just before part 4 starts.
Okay, I'm not
she's
even
much farther
there
than you are.
There, right now, I'm on the main bullet points of. Right now, we're still talking about 3.2 before we're even moving ahead to that.
3.0.
3.3, and there is no 3.3.
Alan? Evan?
Yeah?
We are on 3. Number 2. 3, number 2. It's not 3.2, because 3.2 is a paragraph. It's later.
All right.
Yeah, this is the part preceding 3.1, unnumbered other than that.
Okay. I'm on the bullet points right now.
Okay.
To qualify for eligibility under this program, we got a 1 and a 2 and a 3. On the 2, the application must demonstrate financial need. Eric, you and I still need to work offline on going through that. You sent something fairly extensive, but we need to gel that into a couple of sentences that can be used here and perhaps fleshed out further in future text.
Right.
So that's being left as an action item in red in
yep.
there, EBW to submit non-income measures. Okay. So going to the actual parts underneath. So... And you're right, Elaine, there is no 3.3, and the purpose behind this is that the paragraphs 3.1, 3.2, and so on were to give explanatory notes. Is explanatory text required for the 3.3? Is I guess what I'm asking. We have the material there in the bullet points. Right after the in the section part 3, who qualifies for support? To qualify for eligibility, we've got 1 and 2 and 3. And what follows, in the where it says notes on, is essentially where further text is required to explain what was in the part in front of it. Is explanatory notes required for 3.3, Elaine?
I wouldn't know because I couldn't find 3.3. I think we just need to change the notation a little bit. We've got a header, part 3, and then there's a 1, a 2, and a 3, and then there's a 3.1, 3.1.1, 3.1.2. So maybe if we move the notes underneath the relevant subheaders or renumber things, that would just make it easier to find. I'm scanning this document, I think, just as anybody else would scan it, looking for the relevant points, and if they're hard to find, then that's a problem.
Okay. The intention was to try and put right under part 3 to say, here's a summary of the point, here's a summary of the criteria, and then underneath are notes on them. So, okay.
I can try to address it if you get to me.
Sorry?
I can try to address that if you get to me.
Okay. Well, then I just have, Alan. Go ahead.
Okay. First of all, there's an extraneous one after the second and, which should be removed because it adds to the confusion.
Fixed.
Number two, I would take point number one under three and move it to the end. Having it lead one, the one that some people have already said they want to change, and we're saying we may negotiate, shouldn't be the lead one.
Okay, refresh your screen now, Alan, and tell me what needs fixing.
Okay, the one is gone. Oh. No. I would not put those 3.1s because now we have two sections called 3.1, two sections called 3.2. So I wouldn't have changed what you just changed in the headings.
Okay.
What I'm suggesting is under what you pay right now have is 3.3, which was 3, I would take item number 1 from a developing country, governmental or parastatal or applicant, and move that to the bottom of the list.
Ah, okay.
Just so we don't lead off with the one that we're probably going to change.
Okay.
Next, I would take the bold section that says applicants by governments.
Yep.
And move that into, perhaps with another lead-in sentence, into what Elaine was saying is the missing 3.3.
Ah, got it.
Now, you may want another flowery sentence or something to talk about why we are excluding these. And
well,
then the applications by governments, that makes the 1, 2, 3 correspond with the 3.1, 3.2, 3.3, and takes some somewhat extraneous text out of the introductory part and into the discussion. Thank you.
Got it. That makes absolute sense, Alan. And so that is that's definitely going to be done. Okay. 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 Are there any other? What other comments are there on part 3?
The paragraph that starts although not I'm that may perhaps should be in the discussion as well.
The intention behind that, Alan, is, and maybe this group can help with how this is dealt with. In the past couple of calls, we've been dealing with social benefit aspects that were not sort of primary ones, things like economic stimulus and gender balance. And so there was a comment in the call that these should be included. However, I also don't think that there was agreement that these were primary criteria that on their own should be qualifications for getting aid.
Shouldn't that be in the discussion of 3.1, though, not 3?
Oh, okay. Got it. So, all right. All right. I understand what you're saying. So it's just a matter of placement.
I understand.
Yep.
I understand.
But I'm suggesting it be in the part under 3.1, not in the lead-in on 1. It's a detail, perhaps.
Got it. Okay. Okay. All right. Tijani, go ahead.
Yes. Point 3 under part 3.
the applicant must not have any of the following characteristics.
Yes.
Number one, from a developing country, governmental or past title. You mean that if he is from a developed country, he is it's not a problem?
Oh, okay. All right. Point taken.
So we have to remove developing country.
Right. You're right. You're right. Okay, those words come out. Thank you. Okay, any other comments on part three?
Part three? All part three?
Yes. Anything
okay.
Now we're discussing anything in part three. Okay, Tijani, and I have Dev in the queue after. Tijani?
You mean all of three or just the part preceding 3.1?
Right now, all of three.
Okay. Before 3.1? Okay. No, I don't have anything.
Evan just said all of it.
Yeah, right now, okay.
All of it.
Go ahead.
Okay, all of it. I have a problem with 3.1.2 for the underserved languages.
Okay.
You say as part of this, the group has identified two categories of groups. I will speak about that later. And you said the group, the working group, did achieve consensus that as long as you are talking about bundling, as long as the applicant is providing build-out of language whose presence on the web is limited, and we should give support.
And they meet the other criteria.
And they meet the other criteria, yes, sure. We didn't have any consensus on this. We always said that the application that is in underserved languages is eligible for support. But we didn't say that this is for bundling. If you have two strings, I don't think that it is our mission to help someone who is applying for two strings.
Immediately previous paragraph, it says, partial but not consensus support was expressed for bundling. I think that's pretty explicit.
Okay, but after that you said which consensus, and you said it twice. The same sentence is said twice.
One deals with bundling and the other one deals with a consensus. This is proposing language whose support is limited, we should give support.
If you want me to read it again, it is very clear. To address the need of you said the working group achieved a consensus that as long as the applicant is providing build out of languages whose web presence is limited and they meet the other criteria, price support should be recommended. And immediately after, the working group did achieve consensus that as long as applicant is providing build out, etc. The same sentence. I feel that there is a willing to make it one of the main points of this report. And I am very, very, very much not comfortable for that.
Okay. Okay. Tijani, I'm going to ask the group for some guidance on this because I'm not quite sure how this is unclear. So I'm going to go through other people in the queue and let's see what we can do. Dev, you're next in the queue. Dev, are you there?
Okay, sorry. Hearing me now?
Yep.
Okay, sorry about that. I was unmuted. My bad. Okay. Yes, regarding the application must demonstrate service to the public interest. The problem with the 5 points is that, to me, it's not, I wish it would, it has to be a little more clearer. For example, when it says support by and or for distinct cultural, linguistic, and ethnic communities, I was thinking of what is some more specific wording. For example, can we say that the application must be a community GTLD application? Because it seems to me that these points is specifically saying that in order to be of public interest, it must it must be a community GTLD application and not an open one. The other point is point three, operation in an emerging market or nation.
Okay. Do you have any comments to the conversations that Tijani has been making about the what he's saying is a lack of clarity on 3.1.2?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That too.
Okay. I mean, right now I'm just trying to get some clarity on what's going on in like Tijani's mentioned this point on 3.1.2. I'm trying to get to some clarity on that first.
Okay. I have nothing to say on that. So maybe just go into the queue. My mind's gone blank on that one, on that point.
Okay. Right now I'm looking for help on that specific part of it. Ellen, can you suggest something?
Well, I'm also puzzled that I think about how to be precise on this. I think there is benefit sometimes in leaving the situation open in the sense that the principle of it is the presence of which on the internet has been limited. And it is up to the applicant to make that point or to the evaluation board to not recognize those arguments. So I don't know, there are so many underserved languages. I don't know how we're going to find a criteria that's going to very mechanically precise. I think we need to stick to the principle. But that's just a...
Okay. All right, and I have to express my I have to apologize to Tijani because I'm now just seeing it. I'm rereading it. Essentially, there's the single sentence is being repeated twice. Okay, my apologies to Tijani. I see exactly what you're saying. We've essentially repeated the same sentence two times.
Yes.
Okay, and so I'm going to that's going to be addressed. Okay, next
point.
In the queue, Eric.
My question was, where was that sentence that's repeated? And I wish we had line numbers so that you could say it's at line 198 and line number 207 or something.
Okay, Eric, that's nice, but this wiki doesn't do line numbers.
So
right now we are on the section 3.1.2.
Yeah, I know that. Where are the two sentences?
Hey, the one paragraph begins to address the needs of this group.
At the end of the paragraph.
The second sentence is redundant with the immediately following sentence.
I don't see it either.
Okay. Anyway, okay.
They're not exactly
I've just pasted it in the Adobe chat.
Okay. Anyway, that's being fixed. It's simply that there were two totally redundant sentences in there. Okay. Elaine, go ahead.
Thanks. Yeah, I think obviously there are two redundant sentences in there, but the real problem is we've intermingled two separate recommendations. One of them has strong support and the other doesn't have, it says partial but not consensus support, but I think it's not very much support at all. So I think we should...
Okay, I've addressed redundancy.
I'm not talking about redundancy. I'm talking about you're mixing two different ideas. And
now in separate paragraphs.
Excuse me?
I removed the second sentence from that paragraph, so they're now in separate paragraphs, so they're distinct. Okay, we've dealt with that. Okay. Okay, Deb, you had some comments on other parts of Part 3.
Yes.
No,
okay.
I haven't finished.
Okay. No problem.
I'm not done. I don't think you've separated out enough to make it clear that they're two different ideas with two different levels of support. So I'll grab some language and put it on the mailing list.
Okay, Elaine. As I've said, the edit will be done, so they will be suitably distinct from each other. Do you have something else to add? Okay, Tijani, go ahead.
Yes, thank you. And the paragraph where you say there is not consensus, immediately after explaining what is bundling, you say the working group achieved the consensus. So,
no, no,
it means that
I've dealt with that. That will be edited. That will be fixed.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Did you have anything else on part three, Tijani?
Part three, moment. Yes, part three, but not part 3.3, moment.
Hey, what else in part three?
Yeah. Yes, part 3.1.5.
Yes?
The first paragraph, while for-profit companies, et cetera, and you see, can be eligible. We never said that for-profit companies can be eligible. Never. And even when we said local entrepreneur, we said in those areas where, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So here there is an affirmation that it is not part of our output.
Okay. All right. I'm going to have to defer to the group because this is. Is this something that needs clarification? I was under the impression that as long as they were meeting the other criteria of social good, that a private organization could do this. So if I'm incorrect, let's... Okay. Okay, Carlton, go ahead. Carlton, your hand's up. Are you on mute?
Star six.
Yes, I'm off mute.
Yes, you are.
I want to point out that you can have a for-profit company that comes in a consortium with government or other entities to do it. It's the objective of the clarification. For us to cavil about whether it's a for-profit or not, to me, is not useful. It is the objective that we are concerned about, the objective of the public interest. And I don't care if it's a Martian who shows up. As long as they meet that objective criteria, that is what we should be worrying about. Not for-profit, I'm sorry. And I feel very strongly about that.
Okay. Well, just so you know, as I've been trying to save it, for some reason the software is not reloading on me, so I can't see the text in front of me right now while I've saved it. Can we have some discussion on Carlton's point about, you know, how specific do we need to make about the form? We've said explicitly not to have government in or parastatal organizations. That has been subject to a request of the GAC, and so that's been mentioned in the document. How should we treat this beyond that? Okay, in the queue I have Dev, then Eric, then Ellen, then Sintra.
Okay, thanks. Well, then, my question is, what exactly does point four mean, sponsored by a nonprofit, civil society, and non-governmental organization, then? If we are saying that a profit organization can apply for support under this program. That's my question.
Right.
Well, then, just generally speaking, to Carlton's point, how specific do we need to get about what incorporated form of body is actually making the application? To what extent is it relevant? The original milestone report explicitly restricted governments, but we've sort of been dancing around on whether it's civil society or a for-profit or a private-public partnership. To what extent does this document need to concern itself with the nature of the body? Eric, you're next in the queue.
Thank you, Evan. I've put the two points into the chat. The first one is, this is about 3.1.2. we still have the scripts and IDN references in the text, and these can be changed to languages, which would
yes.
be more consistent in the document. So that's an editorial change that I propose to provide suggested language.
Well, making that specific change is something I can do on the fly, so keep going.
Okay, the substantive change in the same section is, I believe, in Elaine's point also, is the existence of bundling, which is a separate idea, with the consensus for support for underserved languages. And I would not think we would... I think it would improve our document to remove the reference to bundling and the associated non-consensus reference. It would shorten the section somewhat and certainly make it clearer what we were about. Thank you.
Evan, this is Alain. Can I, just a technicality, can I be readmitted into the Adobe Connect, please? I lost it.
Thank you. Okay. I'm
Alain, you go back to the link.
There because people who are not on the call right now have asked it to be there. And since they're not here to defend that, I'm kind of hesitant. We've made it clear there wasn't full consensus on it, but the issue has been raised repeatedly. So I'm hesitant to take it up. If you'd like, we can take that to the mailing list, which I still would comment has had very, very little traffic on it in between calls, which is very disappointing. Okay, Tijani, go ahead.
Yes, thank you. As for the presence of our friend Andrew, I think that this is the last call before we deliver our output to the board. So everything has to be agreed on before the text is forwarded to the board. I don't know how we will do to agree on something that will be updated later. This is the first point. The second point, I want to remind everyone that in the first phase, we have a very long discussion about for-profit companies or enterprises. And it was very difficult for me to make the group agree on the local entrepreneur that are located in the place where the market is not favorable for any business. And otherwise, the group was against any commercial entity to get support. So this is the first point. The second point, I want you also to remember very well the spirit of the Resolution 20. It was for helping the needy applicants. And I don't think that a for-profit company can be really a needy applicant. That's all.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm not sure if we're going to have a resolution on specific wording on this, so we're going to have to take this to the mailing list, basically because... All right. We've been around the block on this so many times, and here we are with the last meeting or two, and fundamental issues are still being debated. I mean, this is just really exasperating. All right.
I have made this point before. Huh? I made it in my proposal to you.
I know before. You've made the point before, but obviously the group is still debating it. So you're as lost in this as I am. All right. I don't know what to do about this. I mean, we can try and hammer out wording now, or we can move on. We're more than halfway through the call, and we haven't even touched part four yet.
Evan, can I just suggest that these areas that the group can obviously not come to any agreement with, that we just flag it as being non-consensus points? Because...
Which is okay.
Even the issue of having multiple applications for IDN applicants in multiple languages, that was discussed ad nauseum on that IDM call, and we still can't reach any kind of consensus on it. So let's stop beating the dead horse and move on to points that, you know, we can get consensus on.
All right.
Sorry. Thanks.
No, I share your exasperation at this. All right. We'll see what we can do with that. And in the meantime, let's move on to part four. Part four has been substantially reworked. Many, many thanks to Jenny on this. And so since a lot of this is going to be new to folks, let's start going through the parts. Okay, Alan, are you on part four or still three?
No, I was had my hand up when Cintra was speaking. I just very quickly, I agree with what Cintra said. We can either be silent on points that we have not reached consensus, or we can explicitly say in a section somewhere, the following issues are still being discussed. We have not reached consensus.
Mm-hmm.
But let's not pretend we're going to reach consensus on everything today.
I think that's safe to say. All right. Okay, so can we move on to part four and specifically start to go through...
Before you move on, what about the evaluation for the government, that wording? Where is it? The wording is under 3.3.
Right, because 3.3 is the list of things not to be accepted.
But applications by governments or government-owned entities, was there
right.
any comment on that wording?
Evan, this is Alan. I had my hand up for...
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no, it's just that I don't want to reopen a discussion on 3.1.2, but... I think there's a problem of logic in the first criteria of specific maximum income. Financial need is not a function of income.
I couldn't agree more with you, and actually we are waiting on some alternative wording that Eric is going to be making for us regarding this. I know it's kind of late in the game, but your concern is your issues are noted. If perhaps between you and Eric we can come up with some wording that would help to describe the concept of financial need without having to talk about income, that is going to be not only appreciated, but we're so late into the game and such a basic thing is still wanting in this document, but we really have no other choice because until now we don't have wording in it.
Oh.
So...
Fair enough. We just have to we look silly right now as it is, so we need to address the issue for sure in words.
I'm in absolute agreement with you. And so, do you have something? I know Eric's working on something. If you have some possible text, at least to put in, at least sufficient so as you say, we don't look silly. If it's something that we can reasonably agree on that indicates on a general level how we would look at financial need without looking at income, that would be highly appreciated.
Yeah, I'll draft up something and work it with you guys.
Okay, so between that and what Eric's working on, we should have something, and I'm really going to ask you guys to do this over the weekend so that by the time we're ready to try and nail this down on the next call, that we have some wording everybody can agree on. To Jenny, go ahead.
Is that Ellen?
Yes.
Oh.
Okay.
Eric's speaking to this. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, was that Ellen who was talking about...
Yes.
Yeah, it was a lie about the relationship between need and income.
I'll let you know.
Okay, Tijani, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. I would like to remind everyone that how to demonstrate the financial need is one of the most important points that we have to submit to the board. The board is waiting for this. Essentially for this, not for any other thing. We are rewriting the milestone report, but sometimes we are contradicting it but it is not what they are waiting for. They know what we wrote for in the milestone report, but they ask a specific question, especially how to recognize a financial needy applicant. And if now we don't submit something, I think we had better not submit anything.
To Jenny, I don't know what to tell you. You know, this group is what this group is. And here we are, the week coming up before we're being instructed to send something in, and we've gone into extreme, gruesome detail on so many other things, and something so basic, we haven't got anything. So I have no words for you on this.
You're right. I apologize.
We're just trying to do the best we can, but you know, the writing team is here at the direction of the rest of the group. We're not here to lead the group. We're trying to reflect what it's saying, and if the group isn't saying anything, we have nothing to put in.
Evan, believe me, I am not criticizing the drafting team at all.
No, understood. And thank you. Believe me, to Jenny, your contribution is huge. Alan, go ahead.
Just a clarification. You just made a mention a little while ago to the next meeting. My recollection was the deadline was today or tomorrow.
Today.
Can we have Olivier tell us what the current deadline is so we know what we're working towards?
Thank you, Alan. I was going to say the deadline is today, but we can move it to tomorrow. But the Monday time is the time when the ALAC and the GNSO should be able to send something to the board. So, you know, obviously this is going to have to be read by the ALAC. We can't just read it in a matter of hours. It needs to be a couple of days reading time. So latest tomorrow, today better.
There is no other call.
Olivier?
Yes, Rafiq.
But for the GNSO, if they will make decision, we need to have a motion for next Wednesday. And they only can make any decision for the next call, which should be in 2 weeks.
Okay. So essentially what I'm hearing from everybody is, on this point, which is the demonstration of financial need, 3.2, probably one of the most important things, we have less than 24 hours for people to submit wording and for the group to agree on it. Do I have that right?
Yep.
Sounds good.
Sounds right.
Okay.
I'm not sure it sounds good, but it's what needs to be done.
Okay, so Eric and Alain, if you could possibly expedite some reasonably straightforward wording that at least is, I hesitate to say vague, but at least broad enough so that the group can come to some speedy consensus on this, that would be appreciated.
You know, one question of clarification to Eric. As Eric, have you already drafted your non-income measures paragraph?
Yes, I have. And could you put your Skype ID in the chat window, please?
Okay, I will. It's Alain. Point.
I'll tell you what. Offline, I'll put the two of you in touch with each other.
Okay, great.
Okay. Note to self. Okay. We have less than half an hour technically left in this call. And we need to go through part four, which is substantially reworked since the last call. And much appreciation to Jenny and Cynthia for the work having been done on this. So discussion is open right now on what we have for part four. So essentially, what this is trying to do is describe, so assuming somebody has met the criteria that we have discussed in 3.3, what do they get? In general terms, much of this has been previously discussed, but the writing team into Jenny has essentially tried to put this into reasonably straightforward wording that we could submit on. So I see no hands up. So this means either everybody's busy reading it or nobody has anything to say on it.
What is the it here?
Part 4.
Say again, please.
Part 4. I don't believe you'll find anything new here, but there's been an attempt to essentially rework this to make it clearer and more straightforward. So if there's something you don't agree with, here's the time where we can expose it and bring it out. Eric, go ahead.
Thank you. In email to the two writing, members of the writing team, I suggested that we address the several of the needs which arise from the guidebook, first being the B6 addressability. We know that this is not generally available, and it's an artifact of, I suppose, evangelical influence on ICANN staff, the belief that V6 is globally available. So, well, my suggestion was that we provide that the JAS issue an RFP to V6 operators, such as Hurricane Electric, and there's a bunch of them, that they offer support to qualified applicants to meet the transition to delegation requirement for V6 reachability. This is a minimum requirement that they basically it amounts to a machine in a cage that has V6 and V4 accessibility so that the applicant can meet that without having to get a V6 line out to wherever the heck they are, which may be in Central Africa. So that's a proposal that we propose to provide the lacking infrastructure, in particular the V6. From that, I then thought, well, what if we do the same for the continuity instrument, if we create the pool so that the actual cost to the applicant for continuity drops to what it is if they use a existing registry provider back end, which is very close to zero actual cost for continuity guarantees. So that's the basic idea I have, is that we provide an infrastructure guarantee, which is different from the GNSO notion of having individual vendors provide infrastructure to individual applicants. So this is a new idea proposed very late in the game. And I'll stop here and take questions if there are any.
Okay. Eric, considering that you know there are very compressed timelines, is it possible to try and build this into point number 4 and at least putting in a line or two that's not extremely detailed but at least gives an intent?
Yes.
Okay. So, all right. So, all right, that's... is there anybody in the group that has a problem with what Eric said? If not, then I will work with him offline to get some wording related to that into the document post-haste. Okay, seeing no hands up. Now, given that there's been very little other discussion on part 4, can I assume that there is general agreement, or is everybody still reading it?
Evan?
Go ahead.
I'd like to ask Elaine if she has any objection to the JAS providing a basis for infrastructure to qualified applicants.
Sorry, could you repeat that?
Yes, Elaine, I can. Suppose the JAS provides V6 V6 reachability and a means to satisfy the continuity instrument requirement, whether this is through a pool or through a cooperative or whatever. Do you have an objection to that?
Perhaps I'm lost, or it's a trick question, but I don't understand.
No, it's not a trick question. It's it's the possibility of competition between JAS and back-end service providers. One of the value propositions of back-end providers that I receive, and I know others bandy about, is that the back-end provider, because they're doing several applications or they have already existing tenants, that their actual cost for continuity is zero, and so the pass-through cost to the applicant is zero. Similarly, they already have V6, so there's no additional cost to have V6 reachability to any of their tenants. Where the applicant is a standalone operation, these have serious cost consequences. So this is...
Okay, Eric, I think I get it. Basically, the idea for what JAS was going to do is not provide any of these services, but just connect applicants with providers. So I think
That's the GNSO model, that there is no intermediary. The ALAC model is we don't necessarily count on direct provision of resources from existing contracted parties to new applicants.
So, Eric, what is your question?
Well, my question is there objection to the JAS arranging for infrastructure to be available, not necessarily involving the existing operators?
I think that's a completely different concept than matching, and it's a whole new program, so we'd have to figure out where are we going to get these resources, how are we going to provide them. I think that's beyond what we had originally imagined.
Okay.
I have no preference about who gets help from whom. The idea is that an applicant that needs help would find a provider that's willing to do that. I don't think GNSO and ALAC needs to compete about who's supplying who. Perhaps.
Okay, Eric, is there a possibility that we could generalize this out as that somebody who gets support should have support given to them, and let's not worry about who provides it and leave that as an implementation detail that we're not going to get done at this point?
Yes, I'm fine with that.
Okay. Tijani, go ahead, and then I have Alan in the queue after him.
Yes. Eric, your point is valid, and it solves only the question of sustainability. But how to demonstrate the need is not solved yet.
I assume that's a question for me, Tijani. To version 6, availability... What need are you speaking to?
What need? The financial need.
Yeah, I thought so. You're mixing questions, Tijani. Please don't do that.
I am sorry. I understood that.
Okay. Tijani, right now we're on part 4, which is assuming somebody has demonstrated need. We've covered that. That's off the table for this moment. It's been addressed in part 3. We're in part 4. The applicant has asserted that they have the financial need. What do we do for them? Do you have a comment based on that?
No.
All right, Alan, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to comment on Eric's suggestion regarding V6, and just to point, but you know, the fact that it's off the table is fine. I'll just point out the JAS group cannot do any operational thing. All we can do is recommend that ICANN does something. Thank you.
Well, and so that goes to the point that I was saying, Alan, that rather than having us go into the details of who would provide the support, that we would simply put out there that the applicant should receive support. How ICANN manages that is probably beyond the realm of what we can do in this document.
Well, I was suggesting something slightly stronger, that we see the need for ICANN to make such arrangements or someone to make such arrangements.
Alan, can I ask you to do a little bit of that wording for me?
Sure.
Okay.
I'll try.
Okay. Right now I'm just trying to share the load of some of the additional writing that needs to go in. The point is made, and it's important. Okay. Are there any other comments on part 4? All right. Assuming that there might be some further on, considering how new this wording is, you've basically got some time left to deal with it on the mailing list, any issues that aren't here. But for the purpose of this call, since I see no more hands up on part four, we will move on.
Yeah, I have a question for Eric. Can you point me where in the section you saw that you thought this should be inserted? You can do it offline, that's fine.
Yeah, I'll do it offline.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Which brings me now to the section that we have here as part five, which is the how is the evaluation being done. We have a lot of wording in here, a lot of red, a lot of blue, a lot of, you know, to be decided. To what extent does part five even belong in something that we have to submit in the next 24 hours? We have spent, it's been my opinion that it's been necessary to nail down the parts we've done so far, 1 to 4, before even talking about the detail level of it. And so the question is, how much of any of part five is actually suitable to go into a document that we have to submit in the next 24 hours? I have Eric and then Alan. Eric, go ahead.
Thank you. I've seen on the list several references to some workflow process, which I've always thought was going to be in Section 5. If we don't have that, it would be useful to say that, well, talked about, doesn't exist.
Okay, Eric, let me just answer that very briefly in the sense that Dev has spent an awful lot of time working on flowcharts that would try and describe the flow of how the evaluation is done and so on. The problem is that sort of been put on hold pending our nailing down in part three of exactly what we were checking for.
Dev's flowcharts, at the moment, in my mind, they exist as two words, Dev's flowcharts. I haven't actually seen any of them, and I don't know anyone who has. Perhaps you have.
Dev, do those flowcharts exist in a downloadable link, or is that okay?
This is Dave. Yes, they are. I can try to find the links and see if we can post them up again. It was posted to the mailing list as well. Way back when.
I believe since they're available at a link that Dev will put that link up in the chat list now.
Don't post the list. It's been in the mailing list too many times. Post it the list again. Just do that. And post it in the Adobe Connect room.
I'm trying to find it right now.
Alan, go ahead.
Yeah, in answering your question, the charter, which we, by the way, should have gone back to sometime in the recent history and seen whether we're really addressing the charter questions, does say provide proposed mechanisms. So to some extent, yes, we need to say something. We probably can't at this point. So I think we'd perhaps put a one sentence in saying this is still under investigation or something. To a large, the detailed implementation, I do not believe is our responsibility.
No, I agree, but
we need to put some words in because the charter question did imply that we were looking at this. But I think at this point, we have essentially said, I think there's agreement that this is all going to have to, the evaluations are going to have to be done by external evaluators. ICANN is not going to do it themselves. And further details we will provide in our final report.
So essentially part five becomes a TBD that we say, as we're given more time, we'll be able to iron that out.
Except noting the concept of external evaluators, which is in line with ICANN's, how ICANN has done all of the evaluations associated with new GTLDs.
Then do we have to be explicit about it?
Yes, because there are other people who are saying that ICANN should do it themselves.
Do we have agreement in this call, or have we achieved agreement before that we want to explicitly tell ICANN that we want this to be done by external evaluation? I have Eric then Sintra, but I'm putting this out to the work group just to nail down for the purposes of putting in this report. Let's clear the queue, Eric, and then Sintra, and then we'll ask the question. Go ahead, Eric.
Thank you. The second part of my initial point was I think that all of Section 5 should be struck, perhaps a one line left behind. Alan set a nice line, and I think that's all that's needed. Thank you.
Okay. I think I'm in agreement with that. Sintra, go ahead.
Hi. Thanks, Evan. Basically, the first part of it is just all the parties, the criteria that we described above in 3. What I would just suggest you read through is you'll see below there's 2 bits of green. Everything between those 2 bits of green. And I think there was an issue about paying back any money that were expended to the applicant. I don't know if that's going to be part of our report, but there's a bit included in terms of that as well below.
Well, that part has been in the document for quite a while, and since that's a fairly significant, if we're going to put that in and we have 24 hours to deal with something that essentially needs a group consensus.
Okay. So what I'll do is, in the interim, let's just go with the 2 liners for Alan. But in the meantime, I will I'll post it to the list and see if I get some feedback.
Okay, Eric, those links are in the chat area now. Is this the first time you're seeing that?
Yes, it is.
Okay, that's unfortunate, but okay. Alan, go ahead.
Thank you very much. I, to be realistic, really, we don't have time to do a comprehensive section part 5. And so I'm very much in favor of the one phrase that says that these evaluation details will be elaborated and by ICANN or the evaluation committee designated by ICANN.
Okay. So there is general agreement that this is going in as not a final report, obviously, but as a second milestone report, and that we are going to ask for some time in Singapore and perhaps beyond to try and nail down some of the rest of this. It has been there's an attempt to try and get some additional help from the board and the GAC, since both of them are driving the production of this working group, to see if they have some input to put into this. Tijani, go ahead.
Yes, thank you. So I agree also with the proposal of Alan, but I have another point that we have to address now before we leave. What we will ask the board to put in the DAG, because now the DAG will be finalized and will not be able to add anything. So I think that first, the mention to the parallel process. Second, if they will propose a fund, we have to negotiate what will they put in the fund, and we have to mention in the DAG that ICANN will put something in the fund. Those are the two essential points. And also, a third point: if there is a panel, what kind of panel? Who will appoint it?
Okay. This is okay. What you're talking about, text, is that we had actually started to deal with at the preamble at the very beginning of this call about putting in a mention in our document that there should be mention and reference to the JAS process in the applicant guidebook, but really, I don't know how much we're in a position to ask for beyond that. You know, the concept of a pool, we haven't even talked elsewhere in our document about a pool. So requesting that to go in the applicant guidebook when we haven't even nailed that down ourselves may be a bit presumptuous. you know, not to mention how much money ICANN will put in the pool. I mean, that's getting into a bit of an implementation detail, the nature of which I guess we need to nail down in Part 5. We just haven't gone to that level of detail. I mean, you're talking about a very major thing to Johnny, and we've barely covered off the high-level issues. So we've got to so what we have to say very clearly, I think, as was mentioned in the preamble, and I think Alan said that at the beginning, that we need to make sure that the applicant guidebook is aware of our program, that applicants are made aware of our program, but beyond that, I don't think we have a lot of influence over what changes are going to be made to the applicant guidebook. And, in fact, there's been many comments in this group that what we do should affect the applicant guidebook as little as possible. If there's disagreement on that right now, this is really, really late in the game. Right now, I'm just trying to nail down, is there anybody on this call who disagrees with the proposal that Alan has put forward, that Part 5 essentially be taken out of the document that we submit to the supporting organizations and be replaced with a small paragraph saying that this is being worked on, and that the one thing that we do want to comment on is that the evaluations will be done by external, not internal evaluators. Is there anybody on this call who disagrees with that? If you disagree with that, put an X in the Adobe Connect. So far, I've heard widespread agreement. Is there anybody who has disagreement?
This is Alain. I just want a point of clarification. Is it, and this may be a rookie question, but do we actually want to keep the JAS working on the details of a future Part 5?
That's a very good question. Does anybody have any answers to that? Well, Olivia, you're in the queue. Maybe you can help with the answer to that.
Thank you, Evan. Well, I'm not sure I've got the exact answer to this, but if you're going to say that the evaluation is going to be carried out by external evaluators, you effectively also close the door to the ALAC, for example, having any look into the evaluations themselves.
Okay. Alan, go ahead, and then Eric.
Two comments. Number one, as I pointed out, we need to go back to the charter and see what it asked, and it did talk about mechanisms. I don't think we're supposed to be writing a detailed implementation plan, but we do need to give some outlines. With regard to what Olivier said, I guess I have to differ. I think anything which is other than external evaluators is going to be a complete non-starter. If nothing else, the decisions that are made here are potentially very political and sensitive ones, and ICANN is there's just no question in my mind ICANN is going to want to separate itself from those who are making the decisions. You know, so it doesn't get blamed that you're favoring Africans and not Central Americans or vice versa, or whatever the decisions are. There are going to be decisions made to refuse to support some people, and the results are going to be sensitive and subject to criticism. ICANN is going to need to be able to separate itself from those. So I think anything other than external evaluators is going to be a non-starter.
Okay, I'm going to clear the queue. Eric, you've got the last word as far as I'm concerned. I'm going to hand control back to Carlton, who is chairing the meeting and is needs, I think, to put a hard stop. So, Eric, you have the last word as far as my chairing this is concerned.
Thank you, Evan. This is Eric Brunner-Williams. The external evaluators may not necessarily contain any members who view the public interest as being the controlling rationale. So if we do not make a reference to in the mechanism that the mechanism must continue to carry the public interest as a guide for evaluation, We risk the possibility that this evaluation is done entirely by, let us say, Arthur Anderson, pursuing entirely reasonable but purely commercial objectives. Thank you.
Oh.
Okay. On that point, as promised, Carlton, I cede the chair of this back to you, since we are at the 90-minute mark. Carlton? Carlton, are you there?
Well, I think he just went away.
Disconnected. We're going to dial back out to him.
Rafiq?
Oh, we don't need to do that.
Rafiq is here.
Rafiq's here.
Okay.
Yes.
Carlton won't be rejoining.
Evan, can I have a word in response to Eric, please?
Go ahead.
Yeah. One can get good or bad evaluators for anything. If we've stated the criteria that social justice is the important thing, then we are presuming that ICANN will at least attempt to find someone who is in a position to judge that. If whether they do it right or wrong, we have no control over. But we're stating the criteria. That's all we can do.
Okay, Rafiq, the call is back in your hands.
Okay, thanks, Ivan. So we don't have so much time to finish the document. The deadline is today, I think, or tomorrow. So for Ivan, I think you have already asked some people to send you some rewording so you can finish some parts. And we still have, maybe we can, if it's useful, maybe we can extend for 50 minutes. Yeah, I agree with Olivier, so we can agree for 50 minutes just if we can fix or finish some parts of the document. Any objection to that?
Well, part of the issue
okay,
is...
Ivan. Ivan...
Figuring
okay.
out what needs to be discussed. As of this moment, there's three people who are going to be submitting wording, that is Alain, Alan, and Eric. And in terms of the wording that is in the document right now, we've gone through all the sections, so unless there's specific comments on the document beyond the delegation of some new wording that has already been made, go ahead. I'm not sure if extending the time on the call is really going to do that, because we've already gone through the part through the document to that extent.
I don't think so.
Okay, we have Sintra in the queue. Sintra, please go ahead.
Thank you, Rafiq. There's one section in the part five, even if we don't want to propose mechanisms, that speaks towards revocation of support. And this is where we find that the application has been untruthful or that they have a change in financial circumstances. Can we evaluate that section? Is there support for that? I can actually post this section if you prefer.
Okay, maybe you can have 10 minutes to do that.
It's in the chat now. Support may stop in two ways. One is discharge. It stops upon notification to the applicant. This is if the applicant has... We've discovered that the applicant has either lied or just... for whatever reason, has not informed us of a change in their status. I have to put it here, a copy in as well. Right, perhaps we could just evaluate this section and see, you know, if we'd like this included.
Okay, Sintra, if you think that we can do that in 10 minutes. Maybe people need also to leave. So is it possible to read it, to it quickly or not?
Well, put another way, is there any objection to putting in Cintra's wording as she suggested? Okay, not having received any objection to it, then that can go in along with Alan's point about the about insisting on external review.
Okay.
Unfortunately, this is Dave.
Yes, please, may go ahead.
Okay. I think the text is appropriate. It's just come back out to part five in detailed process flow. But I don't know whether it's any point in really raising that, since we decided to take out, we're not going to try to come up with a detailed process for part five anymore. There's questions like, for example, if there's a contention between this needy application and, say, a for-profit organizing going through the regular application, what happens? Do we still support it? Do we still support any extended reviews and pay the additional fees and so forth? But again, I don't know if we can have any answers to that question at this point. So.
Rafiq, Cintra's hand is up.
Hi, I think the intention is that, okay, even if we're not going into detailed process, we're just flagging that aid may stop. So even if we give support, it's not that
mm-hmm.
you're guaranteed support for the whole process. You still have to continuously meet our criteria. And
yeah.
It is still going to be evaluated.
Yeah.
The only other question I had was that, do we also want to include a point that was in the milestone report with regard to the fact that an applicant who qualifies and is given support by us, once granted the application, may have to pay back partial or all of our support. I don't think we'll have enough for consensus here. So, but it's just a point to flag.
Anyway, I think we've officially run out of steam.
Cynthia, you want to comment more or just your hand? The hand was raised.
No, I will lower my hand. Thank you, Rafiq.
Okay. Okay. I think many people are leaving now, so not sure that we can extend anymore. But okay. So we have still one day to finish everything. The scripts will wait for some rewards and edits for, I think, Anna, Eric, and Tijen, if I'm not mistaken. For the remaining part, I think it's complicated to finish them in just one day and to have comments from everybody in the mailing list, but so what the working group members advice or suggest for that?
I don't think there's a lot of advice anymore, Rafiq. We have what we need to do, and if we can't get it done in 24 hours, it doesn't get done.
Okay. Let's do our best and hope that we can finish as much as we can. Okay, so thank you, everybody. Thank you, Evan, Sintra, for your hard work. And we adjourn the call for today. Bye.
Bye-bye.